Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to a brand new edition of Geek to Me Radio. Tonight, we have actor David Dasmalchian joining us for the hour, talking about all things The Boogeyman. We'll talk about The Suicide Squad, Ant-Man 3, The Belko Experiment, Count Crowley. We'll take your calls and questions. If you'd like to call in, you can call in at 931-5877, or you can text us your questions at 84126. All that and more. Stand by. If you're driving around the greater St. Louis area tonight, hearing us on the big 550 KTRS, hello to all of you who are listening. If you're streaming us out there on the web, if you're watching on YouTube and Facebook, hello to you and thank you for watching there. As always, if you're hearing us on the KTRS app, wherever you might be listening to us, hello and thank you for using that app. And if you're hearing us after the fact in the podcast form, we missed you having joined us live, but we're glad you are still checking out Geek to Me Radio, and we appreciate you finding us and listening to us on the podcast platform of your choice. Back for a repeat performance, we have David Dasmalchian. We had him briefly a couple weeks ago for opening weekend of The Boogeyman, and we've got him now. We can kind of look back, maybe a few more spoilery things we can talk about since now the movie's been out for a while. David, I appreciate your time on a Sunday.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Good, good, good. Thanks for coming back on. It's very gracious of you to join us again to talk about all things in your career.
Geekdom, man. You are you are one of the great geeks out there, and I believe that we share a love and affinity for many of the geeky things in the world, and so it's always a pleasure. I'm excited to get a chance to talk, and yeah, there's a lot to catch up on, and thanks everybody who's listening who's already gone to see The Boogeyman. It's been really cool to see how many people have been responding to the film. I love it.
Had a really good opening weekend. I know a lot of people were talking about it. I was one of the people, when I see a horror movie come out and it's got a PG-13 rating, I'm already kind of like a little, ooh, is that going to... But it did not disappoint. I think it's one of those that the creep factor is just ratcheted up and it kind of gets under your skin. So kudos on a great film.
No punches are pulled when it comes to the horror elements of the film. I mean, the violence against children and innocent things in this film is not by any means restrained. Here's the thing, when it comes to like the way that the MPAA and ratings boards work, it's like, how many F-bombs are there? How many boobs are we seeing? How much gore is there? And anybody who's a horror hound knows that gore, of course, is a wonderful quality in a lot of the horror that we love. I mean, everybody knows how important gore is to the genre, but it's not a requisite as per se. Like, you know that horror can be achieved really, you know, excellently without like viscera and gore. So what The Boogeyman does so well is it scares the crap out of people, but because it's focused on this family, you know, there's no sex, there's no major cursing, and there's no gore. So it's, to me, as scary as, you know, any of the recent offerings in the R-rated space for horror. It just happens to be a kind of supernatural entity that we're not going to maybe necessarily see entrails spraying all over the place or people having their skin, you know, flayed from their faces.
And it's from the mind of Stephen King. I mean, when it comes to horror, that's one of the grade A brand names in horror. So you know you're in for a good time right there.
Yeah, I'm curious, anybody who's out there listening, it's like, For all of us, King, it was a gateway into so many of the things we love, and that can range from The Stand stuff to Dark Tower stuff to but obviously it's the hardcore supernatural and horror that he just has been, you know, the voice of. And so anybody who was at all familiar with, you know, his short stories knows that this is canonical. I mean, this is one of the earliest and most, you know, prominent people who love Stephen King all know about The Boogeyman. So for me, there's a ton of pressure in the idea of being a part of an adaptation of a King story, especially from a 7-page short story into an hour and a half, 2-hour feature film. You know, you're going to be taking a ton of liberties. You're going to have to expand. You're going to have to modernize this thing because the story was written in the 70s and this is now 2023. So it's like, how is this going to work? And I'm super proud of the film. So proud of Rob Savage. I think he's such a talented guy and he's a true geek, man. That guy knows, especially when it comes to spooky stuff, he knows everything. It's awesome talking to him about horror.
And I know you're obviously well steeped in horror. You're a fan of the genre yourself. I'm curious when at the level you're at, because you, I mean, people know when I say I'm having David S. Maltran, I don't have anyone look at me like, oh, who is that? What was he? And people are like, oh, really? So you're already like a huge name just with all the projects you've done already. And we've listed off some of them at the beginning. For The Boogeyman, I'm curious, did they offer you a part? Do you still audition anymore at the stage you're at?
You know, I'm so lucky. In the last 5 or 6 years, most of the work that I am, you know, kind of deciding upon and where I'm going is usually stuff that is coming my way, which is a very, very, very huge gift as an actor. So like Boogeyman, for example, one of the producers on it, an incredible producer named Dan Cohen, who's part of the company 21 Laps, which is the company that produced Stranger Things and
yes,
the It films and many others. Dan is we've known each other. He's been an associate for years and always been circling each other to find something to work on. So he sent me the project first. He said, look, our director really wants you for this role. What do you think? And I looked at the role in the script and I said, Dan, I'm sorry, man. I had a busy year last year. I also have just come to accept how much doing something like the role Lester Billings takes out of me physically, psychically, you know, energetically. Like, even though it's just in the very beginning of this film, what that would require of me, I was like, I don't think I've got it in me. So it's an interesting process. That Dan is a very relentless guy, and he was sure that I was the right person for the role, and so was Rob, the director. So they just kept kind of coming around and sending me more materials to look at and things to chew on and think about. And eventually, after meeting Rob and hearing his ideas for the film, I decided that it was definitely a challenge I would embrace. I think the last time I auditioned for a film, it was a while ago, and it was not that long ago, but it feels like a while. It was probably about 3 years ago. They had announced in the trades a film which I had always wanted to write myself, which was an adaptation of the Captain's Log Journal from Bram Stoker's Dracula about the journey of the ship to meet her.
Yes.
From Eastern Europe to London, and how the ship arrived at Whitby Harbor devoid of crew. Only witnesses could see was what looked like a wolf leaping off of the deck of the ship and running off into London. So to me, that was the perfect kind of idea of a film, like a ship at sea in the 1800s, and one by one the crew is vanishing, just like the movie Alien or Aliens. And when I heard they were making the film, I got in touch with the casting and director, and I just said, is there anything I can audition for? Because I've always wanted to be a part of this story. And because the role that they had still available was something that I had never done anything like before, they said, we would need you to, put together a tape. And I mean, dude, I built sets. I put on costume. My poor wife was running the camera, and I did, I should release those when the movie comes out, but
you
know, probably 10, 12 minutes worth of monologues and scenes from the script for this character. I worked really hard.
Wow.
I worked with a Polish speaker because the character is a Polish sailor, and I worked really hard on the dialect, and and I ended up getting the role, and I made it a film called Last Voyage of the Demeter, which will be coming out in August for all the horror hounds out there, yet another great entry into the summer movie-going horror experience.
We saw John Wick Chapter 4, and the preview for that movie came up, and I gasped out loud. I was like, because I distinctly remember one of my favorite versions of Dracula is Bram Stoker's Dracula with Gary Oldman, and they had that the Captain's Log gives that voiceover of the ship Demitar.
I was like, go into it, yes.
Oh, I gasped out loud when I saw the previews for that, so I'm super excited that you're in that, man.
Dude, it is. I mean, it's one of the, I mean, I love that book so much, and I've, yes, you know, it's funny. My wife had never seen FFC's Dracula. She'd never seen Bram Stoker's Dracula. And so we rented it just a week ago, and maybe 2 weeks ago. And I watch it every couple of years because I love it so much. But that is one of the only adaptations that even addresses the journey of the Demeter.
Right.
So here's an entire film about it. And I feel so grateful, bro. I get to open the summer with a Stephen King horror film, and I get to close the summer with a Bram Stoker horror film, and both of these movies are super cool, weird. They're especially with something like Demeter, it's like you don't really see a movie like that in theaters.
No.
I don't know how long it's been since people have, you know, there's been a big wide, you know, Cineplex release of a film that's like a period piece. You know, it's 1800s, it's on a ship, and then you've got freaking Dracula just causing complete and utter devastation. It's like, it's so awesome.
Yeah, and I love the preview. It never referred to him as Dracula. It's just there's an evil being on the ship.
There's something
but we all know.
Yeah.
It's
It's
that great layer that the audience knows what's happening, but obviously no one else does. It just adds that extra layer of you're going to want to lean forward in your seat as you're watching this movie. I'm so thrilled.
Yeah, I can't wait. I hope everybody will give that one a try. Again, it's so cool. I love being a part of movies that stand out from the pack, that are different than what is normally put out there, and I've been so very, very, very lucky in the last couple of years to get to work on some pieces of cinema that are just so outside of the box. And to me, you know, the older I get, as a, you know, seasoned genre fan, as a comic book collector, as a horror hound, as somebody who loves science fiction and fantasy and believes that that's just as legitimate of a form of storytelling as any other kind of cinema. I constantly check in on my gratitude because I can't believe that I've gotten to be a part of so many unique entries into the genre space, especially with films like The Suicide Squad, or even Dune, based on a piece of iconoclastic, you know, sci-fi literature.
Yeah.
It's still, I mean, how many big, you know, cinema pictures are we getting anymore that aren't, you know, a little, you know, there's the Marvel way, which I love, and the DC way, but like the Star Wars way. Dune was such Denis' vision was so strange and odd and beautiful and weird, and people just gobbled it up. I love it.
And for those of you watching on the stream right now, that is the preview for The Voyage of the Demeter that my producer Joey V is showing right now. Just absolutely, the amount of detail that has gone into this movie, too, to give it that look and feel of the time is just amazing. I'm watching the preview right now. It just blows me away.
Keep your eyes peeled. There's a bearded fella who looks very intense, who is just about to go toe-to-toe with the Prince of Darkness himself.
Yeah.
I loved getting to build that character too, because Andre, the director, Andre Overdahl, for anyone, you know, who's listening, and is familiar, he made the films, The Autopsy of Jane Doe, Troll Hunter, and, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, all of which are excellent films. Andre was very, very cool about allowing us actors to, you know, really work through and think about who we are and, you know, our backstories, what this world means to us. And for me, building my character, Wojciech, not only involves, you know, coming up with a pretty complicated story, but also my body work. I wanted to be, you know, as strong and powerful as possible because I have to run this ship at a time when there was no GPS, nautical equipment. There was no, nothing mechanical. This is all the most, you know, backbreaking, intense kind of journeying possible to man. And I definitely bulked big time for the role, and hopefully people will see the film and no one will know that I was in it.
I may have mentioned this to you before, but just as much as you get into the character and you've got this transformative quality about you, I mean this as a complete compliment. You're like a young Jeffrey Rush, because you see Jeffrey Rush in something and it's like,
man,
that's the same guy
so
just on this other movie. So I say that as a highest form of compliment, but you really do take on these roles and just get lost in them. And it's like, oh, that's David Desmulch in there. And it's brilliant what you do.
Thank you, my friend. That's a huge compliment. Jeffrey Rush is a hero to me. And you know what? So an actor like Jeffrey Rush is capable of developing and has developed his talent and skills and tools over a lifetime of dedication to the craft of acting in such a way that he can embody, you know, the kinds of roles that have the kinds of demands necessary for nuanced art house independent cinema that is mostly and if not entirely, you know, built around just dialogue. He can also step into the very demanding and, you know, creatively demanding, you know, work that comes with something like one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, and bring a character that becomes, you know, historic with a franchise. And you're just like, that's what I want to be. I want to be the guy that can do a micro budget indie that is entirely reliant upon dialogue and performance, that doesn't have a budget for effects or locations or anything else. And I also want to be able to step into, you know, something like a James Gunn film and be able to rise to the occasion and embody characters, and hopefully audiences see my work and they don't think that it's me there. They get lost in the emotions and the, you know, the psychology of the character that they're watching.
Yeah, and I'd say clearly you're already there, because we've seen you do both of those, man. It's absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. You're so kind.
Oh, not at all. Not at all.
I got to be on this every week now.
I would have no problem with it. You can co-host the show. That's
our
fine.
Show. Okay. All right. Here it goes. It's compliments for David. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're just going to help prop me up.
Yeah, send your compliments right now. You can text us 84126 and we'll pass those along. And if you're just now tuning in, we are talking with actor David Desmulch. The Boogeyman, still out in theaters. I highly recommend you get to see that. And we just talked about The Voyage of the Demi. I was pronouncing it because I had an English lit teacher say Demeter. And then
Demeter,
I'm like, I've heard of Demeter, though.
We landed on Demeter for this film. I think that it would be confusing, because here's the thing. This is based on, you know, the name comes from Greek mythology. And so there's all kinds of variations of the English pronunciation, the Greek pronunciation, the Americanized, you know, English pronunciation. There's all different versions. So we just wanted to give a consistency so everybody, and it sounds good on the earth, Demeter. The way that Liam Cunningham, who plays the captain, says Demeter, it sounds so great. But you can Demeter, the Demeter, all
like
of it,
potato, correct. Patata.
The only time I feel like there has to be, like, you know, what is the correct pronunciation of something is when it's like a person's a proper noun name, like, even my last name, there's 50,000 different pronunciations of it out there, and it doesn't even bother me. I'm like, it's fine, as long as you don't call me an a-hole, I'm happy.
Right there. So yeah, if you're, again, don't text disparaging things, text just compliments for David for the next
well,
40
if they
minutes.
Text disparaging things, just don't tell me what they said.
Right, I'll leave those texts out of the conversation.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I mean, I'm not without my share of haters, and you know, you take a risk when you step into the public eye doing the work that I do, because that's the nature of it. You know, everyone's got opinions, and criticism will come at you hard and fast, and you have to be prepared for it. And I made a film that I couldn't be more proud of that came out earlier this year in the Marvel space, the Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. I love the experience. I love the film. There was a number of people that came with some intense criticism at the film, and that's part of what we do. We make stuff, We put it out there. If you can't hang, you got to find another job. You got to get out of the way, because it's just, you have to love and believe in what you're doing. And you know, if you get hung up on all the positive stuff, then when the negative stuff comes in, you're going to also get hung up on that and believe that it's the ultimate truth. And for me, the ultimate truth is telling stories I love, creating characters I love, and working with people I love. I would much prefer working with people I love than, let's say, some opportunity to someone's like, oh, this is the big Oscar winning director that's going to da da da, who's just doesn't treat people well. Yeah. And it's a negative. There's no way. Life is too freaking short for that for me. But anyway, yeah, send what you got to say, but you'll be happy to filter for me as my partner on the show.
Absolutely, I will. Absolutely. I want to put a pin in that conversation about Ant-Man 3 Quantumania. We're going to take a quick commercial break.
Yes, take a break.
And then we're going to come right back and we'll chat more with David S. Mulch. And again, we'll take your text. If you've got a question, you can say, I'm Cindy from South County, or I'm Joe from Chesterfield, and here's my question. Text those to us at 84126. We are going to take a quick commercial break. I've got the wrong show board up. I'm changing, toggling right now so I can play my outro music.
A word from our sponsor.
Exactly.
Please stay tuned. Get your coffee.
Music playing is out. We'll be right back on Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
Hi, this is Meatloaf, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
We are back. Geek to Me Radio, heard here every Sunday night on the Big 550 KTRS. I'm your host, James Enstall. We want to make sure we tell you about our official comic book sponsor, Bugs Comics and Games. You can go visit them right there, or easy to access on Bryan Road from either Highway 70 or from the page extension, and you can head out there. Maybe you want to pick up David's book, Count Crowley. Volume 2 is now available in trade paperback. You might want to go get that. If Larry has sold out, he can reorder it for you. Just say, hey, Larry, I heard about you on Geek to Me Radio, and I'd love to get, you know, Volume 2 of this. Or if there's something else you're looking for, maybe you're seeing all these movies like Ant-Man, and you're seeing Guardians of the Galaxy, and you're like, boy, where do I even start? Ask Larry. It's like having your personal comic concierge. He'll tell you exactly what kind of books you want. He's not going to get you to buy the expensive ones. He'll say, here are some very affordable readers to get into to get you started. And of course, if you are a collector who's looking for some high-end books, you need to check out what he's got on the wall and in his display case. He's got some fantastic Silver Age books in there, some Hot Keys that you might want to pick up with a lot of these first appearances coming out now. And, of course, toys, games, action figures, and more supplies. I get my bags and boards from him as well. And if you want to save some money in this economy, who doesn't? Join the Avengers Club. You can start saving money immediately on all the items I just mentioned while you still enjoy your hobby. Give their Facebook page a like, Bugs Comics and Games on Facebook. Click that like button. Larry will be thrilled that you've done that for him. And make sure you get out there and get into your comic books. If you're looking to sell a collection, he's always buying, which makes me happy because every time I go in there, there are new comics for me to peruse. So if you're whether you're wanting to buy, wanting to sell, looking to get back in, or maybe you're in it for a while and you just want a new store to go check out, Bugs Comics and Games, Bryan Road in O'Fallon, Missouri. And of course, Facebook page, Bugs Comics and Games. They're very proud to have them as our official comic book sponsor. Talking to David Des Mulchen, we were discussing Ant-Man 3. I was curious because I know it wasn't critically as well received as the previous Ant-Man's, and I think that's largely because you weren't in it live action. We only got your voice. So what would you say to we need you live action more than anything else, I think?
You know, here's the thing. You can be at the mercy of only so many masters. And when you want to make and tell stories that are what are coming from your heart and that are as weird as they need to be coming from your heart, then you just got to take a swing. And I think that Peyton Reed is just one of my favorite directors. I love what he did with Ant-Man. I love what he did with Ant-Man and the Wasp. With Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, I think he took an amazing swing going deep into the quantum realm, discovering an entire new, you know, multiple races and civilizations of creatures in a world that was incredibly vast. It was so cool. I felt like, I felt like he had some odds stacked against him, considering the fact that he was going to have his nemesis, you know, his his villain in the film be Kang the Conqueror.
Right.
And yet Marvel did announce just a, you know, months before his film came out that they were going to be making a series of films with Kang. So that kind of unfortunately makes it tricky for the audience to watch the film and go, well, is this guy going to actually lose? Is there even a chance that he's going to lose? You know, but aside from that, when the movie came out and the critics, you know, piled on, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You got to make the movie that you love making. And you know, it's been wonderful in spite of, you know, the negativity in the press and the fact that the movie, you know, didn't do as well as we would have liked it to do financially. Almost every day that I'm tagged in some message, some post on Instagram through my social media that I see where yet more fans and more fans are discovering Quantumania either on, you know, Disney Plus or however they're finding the film, and getting so much love, which is, you know, fills my heart. Playing Veb, which was the new character I got to embody for the film, was one of the highlights of my acting career. I had never done a mocap performance before, and I, when Peyton asked me to play the role, I said, of course, and I said, there's no way I'm not going to be there in person. I got to come to set, put on the goofy suit, you know, the way Sean Gunn, my buddy Sean, does it for Rocket, and Steve Agee, one of my best friends, he did it as the shark for King Shark and when we were on set in Suicide Squad. And I said, I got to be there, man, because I had seen up close and personal how important it is having somebody there on set actually, you know, responding to and performing. So I did it. It was so freeing. It was so amazing. And I love the way Veb came out in the film. He's definitely one of my kids' favorite characters I've ever played. And I hope that there's world for Veb in the future of the MCU, because one of the really neat things about Veb, similar to the kind of John Carter mythology and other like space crazy, you know, other realms, the language barriers, you know, you either have to believe that everybody can speak the same language, or you have to believe that everybody's going to have a translation bot like a C-3PO to help communication, or Veb is, you know, composed of this bizarre molecular structure in his ooze that for whatever reason helps beings transcend language barriers and communicate together. So I feel like it would be really valuable to take Veb with you.
Absolutely.
On intergalactic missions so that he can, you know, help people communicate.
I would agree. He could be right there at the post credits with Guardians. The new Guardians could have him in it.
Oh man, James, it's too late now. Dang it. What the heck?
That's all right. James Gunn doesn't call me. We live in the same city, or he's from St. Louis. He never calls. I tell you what.
Dang it.
That's all right.
I'm going to tell him. He needs to call you.
I'll waive my consulting fee, too. I'll waive my consulting fee. It's fine. We do have in the chat.
I was just with Paul last week.
I'm sure you're familiar with
the Big Slick, which is a big, wonderful charity for the Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City, Missouri. And we raised $3.5 million together. It was exciting. Paul's such a great guy. And then I just saw Peyton 3 days ago. We had lunch at Bob's Big Boy in Burbank, which is where David Lynch used to write all of his films. It's one of me and Peyton's traditions. Whenever we're both in town, we go get lunch at Bob's Big Boy. And, man, we had the best afternoon. Just sat there and talked about comic books and how much we love characters out of the comic books and different favorites, and it was awesome.
That makes my little nerd heart happy that kind of stuff. I mean, especially, like I said, to see someone like Peyton, someone like James, someone like you, who has a real love of the genre, that you just hang out, have lunch, and talk about. That just makes my little nerd heart happy.
Oh, it's the best. You know, it's fun. James and I got to go to James's bachelor party this past year, and I've got all these old character, codexes, basically, from either role-playing games or just the comics publishers used to put out.
Yeah.
And it was, and I had my DC, DC kind of like character, you know, it's like an encyclopedia.
Yeah, like they had the DC, and, I think, had Who's Who, and Marvel had the official handbook of the Marvel Universe, like
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Those were so fun. And if anybody played Marvel Superheroes, the role-playing game, there was some pretty great codexes that went along with that, which were just like Who's Who. It was each page, you know, you got full art, like a full portrait head to toe. and then all their stats, of course, but then like history breakdown, but they would write about them as if you were looking at a Wikipedia page, which I loved.
And we've got in the comments section, our friend Chance Bartels from Atlanta. He does a great podcast called The Nostalgic Pod Blast. He says, talking
Hi,
about
Chance.
Our Ant-Man criticism, he says, what do the critics know? Critics know nothing about making a film. So he says the same thing. Ignore the critics. As long as you're making the movie you like, then that's what counts.
Oh, buddy. And thank you for the comment, Chance. I agree with you. We have to continue to make art not for – you can't make – it's a paradox, right? Because there's nothing more important to me than the audience. I mean, I do what I do for an audience. So I want to consider the audience constantly, like think about what is going to feel authentic to them. What is going to touch their hearts? What is going to, you know, really rip out their guts or transcend that thing so that they really can escape with me and start to feel less alone in the world, watching a story unfold before them. That is the beauty, the communication, this like cyclical thing that happens between storytellers and their audiences. But at the same time, I cannot, and I don't want to work with people who are driven by a need to sell tickets, to be the most popular, to make the thing that is going to get, you know, resounding praise.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think sometimes conflicting opinions can be a sign of really important work and really great work. In fact, there's a history, if you look at it, of films that were criticized strongly by the press, which in retrospect, they look back and they go, oh my God, that movie went on to become a classic. I think of like a movie like Blue Velvet, where,
oh, yeah,
you know, I think Roger Ebert just criticized the heck out of that movie. Took him 15, 20 years, but then he ended up, you know, going, he ended up coming around and going, I was wrong. What do you know? It's what happens.
Absolutely. And I know we talked about when we came back and we were talking about Bugs Comics and Games, we were talking about Count Crowley. The volume 2 is now out in trade paperback form.
Yes. Yes. So anybody out there who loves comics, if you get a chance, I'd be so honored if you took a chance on Count Crowley. I've been making this comic with Dark Horse Comics for many years now. Lucas Kettner has always been my artist, and he's an incredible genius. He's the Bernie Wrightson of our time. Mm. Lauren Aff is one of the most, you know, gifted colorists. Her paints are just perfect for the tone in the world. And Frank Vedovic, who is also my letterer, has been on every issue. We just released volume 2. And this is the story of a woman who, you know, wanted to be a legitimate news broadcaster from a small town in Missouri that I created called Beloit, but it's somewhere of a cross between Columbia and Kansas City, I guess, smaller though. And, she loses everything. Her whole career is kind of sidelined by a horrible thing that happens to her, and she turns to the bottle and she's drinking herself into oblivion, and the only job she can get is hosting the late night creature feature on this small time TV station. And the first night she goes on air, she's a hit because she's so wasted, she's just making fun of the audience and people love it. And then when she goes out in the parking lot, this guy comes up to her and says, you've got to help me tonight. It's happening. And she doesn't know what he's talking about. He turns into a werewolf in front of her. She barely escapes with her life. And she comes to realize that the guy who she replaced as the horror host was only using that gig as a cover. In truth, he was one of the last appointed monster hunters. He's now gone missing. And she has to not only figure out how to get herself sober, but has to figure out how to fight, and defend people she loves from these monsters that are coming. And, I'm so proud of the book. We have werewolves, we've got vampires, we've got zombies, but we call them Billitombia, or Billies for short, in my book. Getting ready to introduce a Frankenstein's monster character. So there's lots of tributes to the classics, but it's all new. And yeah, volume 2 is out now. I'm so proud of it. And, you know, I hope that if you're listening and you love comics, you give this a shot. I promise you what you get now is collectible, because there are exciting things happening in the world of Count Crowley. And trust me, you want those first prints of the single issues, and as well as the trades. I am hoping to come to the Midwest. I want to come and see you guys in St. Louis. I want to sign books. I want to come visit the haunted houses in the fall, Kansas City,
like
the Edge of Hell, Beast. So many great haunted houses.
The Darkness and Soulard?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they've
got
the big ones for you in St. Louis. What are the big ones around you?
Usually the Darkness in Soulard, and then they've also got the Lemp Mansion. They open it up and they actually put you in the big freight elevator and take you down into the tunnels. They
awesome.
Do a great one there around the Lemp Brewery area. So they've got some of those, and they've got a couple out in Fenton too. It's been a while since I've been to those, but yeah, I'm a big fan of the haunted houses. Those are a lot of fun.
How far are you from the caverns?
Merrimack Caverns?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd say, what are we, probably about an hour and a half, maybe?
Okay. I just always felt like it would be so cool to be able to, like, turn those into a seasonal haunt around Halloween.
That would be fun. Yeah, I know I'm sure they've got trails and everything. I'm just wondering if maybe they haven't done it before because of liability issues or something. Some kid goes wandering the wrong way.
That's always the problem. Every time I find a really cool space that I'm like, we should turn this into a haunt. Immediately the thought is, yeah, who's going to insure this?
Right.
Nobody.
If we could, it's the lawyers, man. They ruin it. We have a couple other chats came through. We have Kevin Brackett. He does a great podcast, also Real Spoilers. He says that it was your take, David, on a great take on art versus commerce. Loves that insight. And then we have Larry, my comic book sponsor, Larry from Bugs Comics, just said he collected all the Count Crowleys. It was excellent. And David, you're right. The art is very Wrightson-like.
Thank you. I would love to come to Bugs, by the way, so we'll have to figure out how to make that happen.
Yeah.
When I'm doing my Crowley, I'm hoping in the fall, I'm doing a big launch of and some big announcements at San Diego Comic-Con. So anybody who comes in who likes to come to Southern California for the big San Diego convention, please do. But I'm also then hoping in September, October to do a couple of like 4-day weekend tours of like, you know, Kansas City, St. Louis, maybe Chicago Quad Cities, but come in and hit comic shops where we can sign Crowleys and then go to haunted houses in the evening. So let's be in touch and figure out how to make that happen. I'd love to come to the shop. And of course, then you got to make sure you have your Polka Dot Man Funko Pops so I can sign those.
Oh my gosh, of course. I was just at Superman Celebration in Metropolis, Illinois yesterday, and I caught cosplayers. They were cosplaying as Killer Moth, Music Meister, and Polka Dot Man. I got a picture of all three of them. It was great.
Heck yeah. That makes me so happy. That's the best. How was the celebration?
It was good. I was there Saturday. They had Tyler Hoechlin. They always try to have a cape there every year. So Tyler was their Superman who was there this year. They had Nicole Maines, who played Dreamer in Supergirl. And they had Jesse Rath, who played Brainiac. They also had Sam Jones. Flash Gordon himself was there. It was a really good event.
That's a great turnout. Yeah, I think Tyler is an awesome Superman.
I agree.
Love him. We worked together on a movie called The Domestics. And I was familiar with his work because he'd been in a Linklater film, and I was like, that guy's great. And then now to see he's done. And Bitsy, who is his Lois, I'm friends with as well. I really love those guys.
And you mentioned coming to this area, and the chats blew up. Larry said he would love to have it, have you at his shop, so I'll definitely make that connection for you. We have Pamela Hickey says, David needs to come to Legends and Lanterns, which that's a great idea. So I'm going to have to do real quick. This is the perfect time to do this. I'm not going to take a commercial break, but since Pam Hickey brought up Legends and Lanterns, our premier sponsor is the City of St. Charles, the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau. So I know we talked last time, David, you're familiar with that area because there's the Noah's Ark used to be there, where now is the streets of St. Charles. So they've got all those dining and shopping experiences right there. And, of course, up and down Main Street, I know it's the start of summer, but I'm already thinking about Halloween in the fall. So they've got Legends and Lanterns, which is their Halloween festival that takes place the last three weekends of October, where you can actually go and hang out and get axe-swinging lessons from Lizzie Borden. You can talk to the Brothers Grimm and Mary Shelley. You can sing karaoke with the Phantom of the Opera. You can do witch finding with Abigail from the original witch hunter herself. So all these interactive characters you can talk to. It's 3 weekends long. So if you're able to come one of those weekends, as Pamela suggests, David, you would love this. It's been going on there. I think this is their 7th year they do it. There's the Queen of Hearts is out there. It's all these interactive people you can talk with up and down South Main Street. And then you can obviously do the dining and the shopping. And it's all these small businesses. It's a great, great area. And the City of St. Charles has been behind
the
show since the beginning.
I would love to come out. And I feel like you know, St. Charles is, it's just another one of the, it's one of those amazing cities that I feel like are, you know, those hidden gems where you go and then you just, it's such a great way to go for a weekend. To me, that sounds like a dream because I feel like there's probably enough people there who are fans of either the movies or TV shows that I've done that would come out for like a Crowley signing. But I feel like there's also just, there's so many places that I would want to go off on my own, like bring my wife and go hit the restaurants and obviously go to your comic shop. And yeah, that'd be a blast. I'm into it.
They've got a Joey V, remind me, the movie themed bar that's out there in St. Charles. Is it Kubrick's?
Yeah, they have a Stanley Kubrick themed bar and the milk bar's upstairs and it's incredible. Shining stuff on the wall and we got to go.
Yeah, we got to go. So awesome. David, we'll go there if you come in town too, but that's in St. Charles as well, right there on Main Street.
I would love that. And but just so I can clear, is that where Bugs, is that where the comic shop is as well as in St. Charles, or is that somewhere else?
It's just, it's a straight shot down 70 from there. So it's very close. It's in O'Fallon, which is just a little, like maybe a 10-minute drive from St. Charles. So you could do the comic book signing at Bugs and then head over for the festival.
Do you know where I want to go in St. Charles too? They probably don't care about promoting this to the, like, you know, Chamber of Commerce, but there was this strange radioactive weapon production manufacturer back in the day, and you can go visit, I believe, there. But it's like out in the outskirts. Oh my God, there's so many weird, cool things out in that part of the country that I love so much. I want to go to. I mean, have you been to Defiance, Missouri?
Yeah.
You've been to Chesterfield. There's so many neat places. I love it.
Yeah, I just shot a small film. Was it Defiance? I'm just trying to think. I shot like a pilot for a TV show that my friend Vanessa does. She's very talented. She's actually just moved to Atlanta to kind of open up more opportunities for her, but we did a pilot for TV. I want to say it was Defiance that I had to drive out
to. Defiance, Missouri is a small town. They've got there's a famous like biker bar there that's filled with crazy taxidermy. I'm that guy that likes all the off the beaten path stuff as well.
Right.
Like I like to know like if I go to a town, what's your favorite coffee shop? Where do you get your comics at? Where do you watch movies? Obviously like where is the best place for brunch, breakfast? I'm not a big drinker, so I'm not a drinker at all. In fact, I'm sober, but I don't care as much about the bar scene as I do. Just like, I love the off the beaten path stuff. I always love finding like where's your favorite bed and breakfast in the town, where do you get the best cup of coffee. So you have to bring me to St. Charles and show me around.
And I swear, so all of you folks listening, we didn't plan this ahead of time, but David's just keeps setting me up for my live read, so I'm going to skip the commercial breaks. But
okay,
Dave was talking about he likes to be told where to, you know, the best places to eat, the best places for coffee. So I'm going to go ahead and do my live read for Steve's Hot Dogs. If you're downtown St. Louis in the right there on Grand, and he's also, if you're a soccer fan, I know my brother-in-law Evan was just in town with his wife. They went to the St. Louis City game this weekend. Hopefully they stopped at the Steve's Hot Dogs location that's there inside the stadium. But if you love hot dogs, they've got all sorts of fantastic recipes for the dogs they've got, and it's the official hot dog of St. Louis. The Stormtrooper dog is one of my favorites. They've got all the different flavors. We've gone over those before, but if you are wanting to, this, you know, strikes a chord with you, they probably won't deliver to California, David, but if you're in the greater St. Louis area and you want to use Grubhub or something like that, place your order online at stevshotdogsstl.com. Put in the code GEEK2ME. You get $5 off your orders of $25 or more. And if that's going to save you some money, if you want to get their hot dog flight, which is 8 halves of their different hot dogs that they have on the menu. So their Jamaican dog or their bacon Jamaican, I think is that one. But they've got a lot
Buddy,
of great flavors.
Come on.
I know.
I wanna go.
So again, that's what I'm saying. When you come in, we'll have to take you to Steve's Hot Dog. I'm planning this like I'm Julie McCoy, your cruise director. But when we get you in there, there's so many places I can be like, hey, here's where you want to go. Steve's Hot Dogs is definitely one of the stops you're going to want to make, David. It's really good food.
Heck yeah.
And they've got vegan options. They've got gluten-free buns, which made my wife happy because she goes gluten-free. Yeah, we've got gluten-free buns, no problem. And they substitute it. The fries, the big basket of fries to go with your hot dog are delicious. They'll make it the way you want it. If you want a little alteration here or there, I don't want jalapenos on it, they'll take care of that for you too. Once again, the website, stevshotdogsstl.com. That code geeked me at checkout for $5 off your order of $25 or more. And now back to our show.
I'm coming to St. Louis, of course. can you help me? There was a comic shop I talked to on the phone. How do they pronounce it? Apotheosis? Is that in St. Louis?
There is. That's downtown. Yes. Yeah. Apotheosis.
Okay, great. There's a shop there. Have you ever shopped there? You ever bought comics there?
I've been down there a couple times. I think went down to the city. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, they're kind of across the street, catty corner from Steve's Hot Dogs. They're on South Grand as well.
Oh, wow. Amazing. I just remember, so when Count Crowley was about to come out, I tried calling at least a couple comic shops in as many areas as I possibly could. It's really hard. You don't, like, a lot of people don't check their voicemails, or you get somebody who answers the phone and you try to explain that you're a comic creator and you were going to see if you could talk to the owner. You get hung up on a lot. But I remember a guy named Martin, who I spoke to there, was so nice. And I believe he said he was going to be carrying a Crowley, but yeah, I tried, because every time I go to a new city, I want to go find the comic shop. I try to find the local spots. I try to connect with, the people, because I feel like that's the best place for me to meet, new, interesting people and friends, potential friends.
Yeah. And like I said, Larry would love to have you at Bugs. He's a big fan. And we also said, I'm scrolling back because the chat started going nuts again. We've got Kevin Brackett also said he's got a photo of you and Rooker from Belko Experiment. And he's got Rooker already signed it, so he needs your signature on it. So there's,
Home, baby, bring me that. And then I'm going to take my Sharpie and I'm going to draw on Rooker's face a big goofy mustache. And I'm going to draw a hammer. No, it was a crowbar in his skull. If anybody has not seen Belko, I'm sorry for the spoiler alerts, but I get to brain Rooker with a crowbar. It was so much fun. I love Rooker. We've been friends for years, but he also just sometimes deserves to get a crowbar to the chrome dome. And I hit him so hard, man. It was so much fun. Oh, that was a blast.
And that was a fantastic movie.
That was a James Gunn film. He wrote it. Greg McLean directed it, so James was producing it along with Simon Hadd, who was his right-hand producer. We were down in Bogota, Colombia. It was a good time, man. That was so much fun.
And I know I wanted to talk a little bit too about Oppenheimer, which is coming out in July 21st, I believe, is the release date for that.
My birthday.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, isn't that cool? Christopher Nolan gave me the gift of my film career by casting me in The Dark Knight. I believe the release for that as well was July 21st. I could be wrong. If it wasn't the 21st, it was maybe the 20th or the 22nd. But his films always seem to come out around my birthday, which is really amazing. But this year, I will be at San Diego Comic-Con, where I'm going to be promoting Count Crowley, as well as Last Voyage of the Demeter, as well as Oppenheimer. I'm really looking forward to that weekend because it's my birthday. Oppenheimer will be going wide release around the globe, and I'll be at San Diego Comic-Con, where I'll also be announcing, for anybody who's interested, I'll be announcing a very big comic project that I am launching that I am so excited about, an entirely new reality world full of characters that I cannot wait to introduce to readers. It's the biggest undertaking I've ever attempted in writing. And then also be announcing a special horror seasonal comic that is going to be coming out later this year. So there's going to be a lot of big fun things to announce at San Diego. And if all goes well, according to plans this week, I'm meeting with one of the best mask fabricating manufacturing companies in the world. There may be some mask announcements done for San Diego based around characters that I created. But Oppenheimer, man, is to me, that was the time that the opportunity to go back and work with Christopher Nolan after 15 years since he changed my life with The Dark Knight, and to be a part of the telling of this story, the story of J. Robert Oppenheimer, and brought to life by Cillian Murphy. There's few gifts to my career, my acting work, that can compare to this. I'm so honored and I'm so lucky that he thought to invite me to come play with him again. It's really incredible.
the period pieces, I mean, and then again, David, this just shows your range. You're doing period pieces. You're doing a horror movie. You've got voiceover work and everything like that. But I always think a period piece seems a bit daunting to do, because I mean, both as a director to undertake, but as an actor, because you really want to kind of get this historical character correct, and you want to make, you know, you get the feel of the era. How do you personally get into that headspace of like a 1940s style character?
It's, you know, you watch old movies, you try and watch old newsreels, you try and figure out there's a tone, there's a tenor, there's a quality in the way that people behaved, especially, you know, this is a story about science and scientists, the military, the government, major, major world-changing, paradigm-shifting, you know, leaps in our, you know, movement as a species. This film, I mean, the atomic, the weaponization of atomic energy, and even just the harnessing of atomic energy, probably, you know, one of the biggest, single most, you know, impactful things introduced to humanity in the history of our species on Earth. And there's few artists that take the responsibility of cinema as seriously as Chris Nolan, and there's obviously very few people in the history of cinema who've got the talent and the ability to tell stories using using cinema the way that he does. He's such an incredible craftsman, while simultaneously being an amazing artist and a phenomenal storyteller, that for me, the world that was being created on the sets that I was present on, it felt like I was stepping back in time. The other actors just felt so ingrained in this world that was being created, this recreation of a time that was so near to ours, but still so far away.
Yeah.
And every opportunity I had to be near or around Killian while he was bringing his character to life was, it was pretty humbling, man. That guy's just a very special actor, and yes, I have great respect for him, and he's also a really kind human being, so I was grateful to get to be around him.
And it's hard to believe this hour is almost over. I need you back again to talk about all the other stuff. So we'll definitely have to do this again at some point. I want to ask you, though, I know, because, you know, you share that same geekdom and nerddom with me, and we just talked about movies that were not well received. The last Indiana Jones movie, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, is one of those movies that I championed when it came out, because the 1950s was all about UFOs and saucer men. I didn't have a problem with it. I liked the fact that he'd aged. Now this new film is coming out. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being couldn't care, to 10 being super excited, how excited for you are for The Dial of Destiny?
Oh, man, you put me on the spot. I am excited because I love the character so much, and I love Harrison Ford so much. I mean, anybody who hasn't watched Shrinking yet needs to get on that as quickly as possible.
Yes.
He is a hero to me. He always has been. That character is one of the most important characters to so many of us who love film. So I am going to go in with an open heart and open mind. I've been trying to avoid all the canned reviews and trying to avoid even trailers, because I feel like trailers lately have been betraying me. So I'm going to say 10.
Okay. I'm equally excited.
You?
Like I said, this is Raiders of the Lost Ark is my favorite movie of all time. I'm super excited for this as well. I was kind of curious as a fellow movie fan, a fellow nerd, what your level was. So I'm glad to hear you're at the same level I am.
You're a 10. Okay, great.
So we'll have to compare notes when it all shakes out at the end.
Yeah. Well, it's got a great cast. Again, Harrison, I didn't get to work with him, but I got to be in a film with him, which will always be a badge of honor for me, getting to know that I was in Blade Runner 2049 with him. I don't know. There's nobody. I'm sure so many of us feel the same way. But you know, Indy and Han were the ones that I just wish. So many times when I was having a hard time as a kid, I was like, "Boy, I wish that guy would just come scoop me up and take me on an adventure."
Yeah. That's it's one of those just iconic characters. And again, if you're listening, you've got some other movies to look forward to besides Oppenheimer. There is also, we mentioned The Voyage of the Demeter. I'm pronouncing it wrong now.
You're good.
And you can still see The Boogeyman in theaters. So if you're in San Diego around
right
that weekend.
Our third weekend, just wrapping up now. So go check out The Boogeyman. Or is this our second week? Maybe our second weekend. But what's great is this is a film that is great counter-programming if you're not, it's summertime. It's a great time to go see double features.
Absolutely.
Go see more than one movie a weekend. And then a film that I made that has not been released yet, but I'm excited for you guys to see. It's coming soon. It's called Late Night with the Devil. Please go check that out. And if you have Shudder, it's still not too late to watch the Halfway to Halloween special that I did with the Boulle Brothers. I'm very proud of that. And Boston Stranglers currently streaming on Hulu, which is a film I did that just came out a few months ago. And Matt Ruskin did a great job with that. It stars Keira Knightley and Carrie Coon as the two women who were tracking down and reporting on the Boston Strangler case and all the mishandling by the police. So lots to see of me being weird. Obviously, Veb and Quantumania, my favorite. And thank you for listening to me gab about this. Thanks for all the kind compliments. I trust you, James, that these were nice messages that were coming in.
Every single one.
I'm grateful for it all, and especially to all my friends out there in the Midwest. And sounds like there was people listening from all over, but hello and much love to Missouri, much love to Atlanta, much love to all of my friends. I can't wait to come see you guys in your comic shops and hang out.
We will look forward to it. And again, if you want to follow him on Instagram, Instagram.com/DesMulch, and we'll put a link to that. David, thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Thank you, my friend.
And there he goes. And again, we want to thank our sponsors as well. The Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau. DiscoverStCharles.com is that website. Steve's Hot Dogs STL and Bugs Comics and Games. Give them a like on Facebook. Thank you to Joey V for always making the show sound as good as it does. There he is right there running the computer. Thank you to all of you who listened tonight. Chance, Kevin, Larry, Pam, everyone. I'm sure I missed a couple more in the comments. Thank you all for listening. Until next week, my friends.
That's a show! This is Geek to Me Radio!
Thank you, San Diego. Good night.
Hey, kids. Are your parents about to buy you a shiny new toy from Amazon?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Well, don't be selfish. Share some of that money with us. Before going on Amazon, make sure to type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser. It will look just like Amazon.com, except it'll say referral Geek to Me Radio up top. And then when you check out, a tiny percentage will go to support the show without costing you 1 cent more. So before your parents get you that gizmo, gadget, or widget, make sure they type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser.
bit.ly/geektome, bit.ly/geektome.